This is the Diaries of a Diet podcast with Danny Fennessy. Lasalle, welcome to another episode. I am very excited about this episode because, I'm just going to be real with you. I'm clucky. I am so clucky at the moment. I mean, all my friends around me are having babies. You know what? Actually, I've been clucky since I was like 16 years old. I've always wanted to be a mum, but I know when the time's right, it'll happen. It'll come. But, you know, being in a same-sex relationship, it's a little bit harder because you're missing a pretty vital ingredient, and that ingredient being sperm. And I mean, it's not just like who wants to be a millionaire and you just ask the audience or call up a friend or something, you know? Or do you go to the donor? Do you go to the bank? Do you actually ask a friend? Do you turkey base? Do you do it the natural way? I don't know. I don't know what is even a natural way. I have no idea. There are so many questions. But when you do get to the point where you are pregnant and you're about to have a baby, you want that experience to be as enjoyable as possible, right? Or as pleasant as possible and as safe as possible. But I know that it's not the case for a lot of the LGBTQ plus community. So when I came across this amazing woman called Arlene, I was like, oh, I have to get her on the podcast. Not only is she queer, she is a midwife to the LGBT plus community. So cool. Eh? She wants to create a safe space for the people as they bring life into this world. So we chat about how she got here, what made her do it, and where you can find her if you're looking for a friendly, loving midwife. She's a great human, great fashion sense as well. So check out this chat with Arlene. Hi, Arlene. Like, welcome to Diaries of a Diet. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
That's all right. Can I actually, this is like, I don't know if this is going to be weird or not, but I'll tell you how I actually came across your Instagram. Mm. So I got into a little bit, I got into like a little bit of a wormhole on Instagram. And I don't ask me where I first started to get into this wormhole because I can't even remember, but I started watching birthing videos. I know. I don't know how it happened. And I was like, at first I was curious. At first I was like, oh, what is this? And then I saw it. And then I was just really intrigued. Mm. And then I was like drawn to it. And I was like, oh my gosh, women are so amazing. Or just people that give birth are so amazing. Yeah. How was this happening? And it was quite graphic. There was a lot happening, not going to lie. But I learned a lot. And then for some reason, I came across your account and I saw it and it said midwife for the LGBT community. And I was like, oh my God, I think I threw my phone. And I said to my girlfriend, I was like, oh my gosh, did you know that there's a midwife like, that specifically does LGBT? I didn't even know that they existed. First off, being a midwife is an amazing thing. Thanks so much. You help bringing life into the world. But then also dedicating it to the LGBT community.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm loving it. From in Auckland, I'm the only person that is out, visible, queer, doing it just for our community. I don't know of anyone else that is saying that, and it feels great.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I have never heard. I've got a few friends that've got babies as well that are queer, but I've never heard of that. Also, you look amazing. You look like a rainbow in your outfit. I appreciate a matching set. And I didn't realize because obviously we've only been texting, but whereabouts are you from?
From the UK.
Yeah.
So grew up in North Devon and moved here about 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Just got my residency 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations. Hello.
Yeah, very excited about that. And yeah, moved just at a time in my life when I was like, fuck it. Yep. Sure, why not? Yeah. Let's do it. And so I've been qualified midwife for like 5 years. And I guess last year, especially during the COVID lockdown, there were a few incidents in the hospital, which made me very sad. We had like a lot of queer doctors working in obstetrics at that time. They just happened to be like a lot of the house officers, all of them were queer.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was wild.
Great though.
It was great. It was amazing. But there were just a few incidents of like, you know, homophobic, transphobic comments. There was a trans man who was pregnant at the time and there was just all that, you know, usual BS of like, how can he be having a baby if he's a man? And I was like, you're all shit.
Oh, God. Wait, not obviously not coming from the queer people.
No, from the midwives or the doctors caring for them. And I was like, you're all lame and I hate you all.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And then for a long time was just like, this needs to be better and we need to do better. But I sat really difficultly in like, am I the right person placed to do this? Like, am I like taking space up from someone who might be better placed for it? Is there someone who's actually trans who could do this work or, you know, a person of colour or, you know, I'm a white cis woman. Like, is it me? Should I do it? I don't know. And then for a long time, I was like, don't know. It's too hard. Like, the work's too hard. The conversations were too hard, but I was doing it and I was like, fine. And then basically I put out a survey just on Instagram and Facebook and was like, hey, if you're queer, can you answer my survey? And was just like, have you got kids? Do you want kids? Like, what's your experiences of being in the healthcare system? Because, you know, what I thought would happen was that they would all be like, no, it was terrible and I had a horrible time, because I think that that's what we kind of know. But I didn't actually have any information, and there's really limited research on anyone LGBT having a baby. They're just there's some research being done in the UK, but not really anything here. There's just no information. So I was like, oh, hey, filled out this survey, and 80 people replied.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, holy shit, no one knows who I am. And they've all spent my, replied to me. And the overwhelming feedback was that it was really shitty to have a baby when you were queer.
Wow. And why was that? Did you find out why that was?
Yeah, so that's why I've got my bit of paper.
Yeah, I love this, by the way. Mm-hmm. So prepared. I felt you should be on this side of the mic. She comes in and she's got this whole double-sided paper of notes. I'll just sit over here and you just do your thing.
Good. I'm a very type A organized human. So.
Oh, great. I'm not, so here we go.
So some of the people were saying, so mainly the people who responded were cis lesbians, but I had quite a few also trans men who answered, which I thought was amazing, because I think that particularly that part of our community is not that visible. I think it's more acceptable to be a white cis lesbian than
I would actually trans. Say so. Yeah. Especially having a baby.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it seems more if you're straight passing, it's more acceptable than if you're gender fluid or whatever. Mm. So they had a lot of stuff was... The language wasn't inclusive. The language wasn't inclusive. Actually, a couple of the people who replied, actually their experience was so terrible that it said that they didn't want to have another baby because they were treated so horribly by the midwives and the doctors, and constantly being asked about oh, where's your husband? Oh, where's your male partner? Oh, and oh, where's the father? And oh, does the father mind? Referring to the sperm donor. Who isn't the father of he donated half of his genetics, but not the dad.
Yeah. And that, why, how is that their business anyway? Is it their business or
no,
how does
it's not.
That work?
It's not their business. It really
does that got to do with anything?
Isn't.
Well, what would be the difference if a single woman, a straight single woman came in and had a baby, would they still do the same thing? Where is the partner? Where is the male? Donor?
I don't know.
I
think maybe there would be some inquiry over it. I think mostly in a trying to make chat way, what do you do for work? That kind of
nonsense. Yeah.
But when it's over and over again, and you're constantly having to be no, I have a wife, or no, it's just so draining emotionally for anyone who's doing that, let alone when they're having a baby who may have complications and all those sorts of things. You have enough going on being pregnant with your hormones flying without having to deal with constant questioning about, where's the man?
Yeah. That's the last thing you want to really talk about either. It's we're here for the baby. That's it.
Yeah, totally. So then I was just so as part of my survey, I was do you think that this service is even needed? Because I didn't want to do something that was just no one gives a shit. And then I was I'm going to waste my time. And basically everyone said yes. And everyone was we would want a queer friendly midwife. And we would want a service that was just for us. And so I was okay, sure. I'll just bloody do it. So I did.
Exactly. I don't think it matters who it is, really. It's just somebody doing it.
Yeah, totally.
In that space.
So I've made resources, which are all completely gender neutral. They don't talk about mums, dads, women, fathers, any of that nonsense. And the information isn't anything new. It's just what I know as a midwife. But it's just for everyone and anyone. And it is. It's amazing.
Well, because it's supposed to be that I don't have any children yet, but it's supposed to be the biggest day of your life, you know, bringing life into this world.
Yeah, totally.
And you want someone to be there that you feel safe and supportable. Well, this is what I would want.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
So have you created a whole Empower?
Yeah.
Is that your business that you've created?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about that.
Yeah, so Empower is my business. The midwifery world works slightly differently in New Zealand in terms of most... We call them LMCs, so lead maternity carers. You have an LMC who is your midwife, basically. And in New Zealand, they are all self-employed, paid by the Ministry of Health.
Okay.
So it's free for the person to access care, but we just claim via the Ministry of Health, technically via a business. So you set up your own stuff. I've named mine Empower because I'm all about the body's amazing. And like you watch those videos of like, and I'm always like, oh, you guys are, yes.
I've seen the videos and I've actually been there for my sister's, my sister gave birth.
Oh, how was that?
Well, very, very hard to see someone you care about a lot to be in so much pain. But also, wow. I wasn't able to see my nephew being born because she had some complications, had to go down to theatre.
Oh, yeah.
But just wow, you know? And that's why I feel this way because I'm just like in that room because she didn't have a very good experience with her midwife.
Yeah.
I don't think she would ever hear this. But, I just with that, it's like, wow, you have so much trust in this one person that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, totally.
And that relationship is like, especially within like healthcare, for 9 months you're pregnant and then for six weeks you see your midwife at home. Mm. That's like a really significant portion of time, which is different to any other health professional. How often do you see your GP? Like if you're fit and well, probably not very often, and probably it's always someone different. Like, so there's this huge amount of time you're doing this really like amazing life-changing thing. And one thing that I just didn't really like bank on was how much it was needed in terms of like in that birth environment, you're giving birth and it's super intimate, which I've always known, but it's like super intimate. And if you don't feel like your partner can touch you the way you want to because you might be judged, then that isn't going to be good for your birth. Like one, you're just not going to labor well because your hormones aren't going to, you're going to be stressed about this person in the room that's maybe looking at you a bit side eye. And I'm just like, yeah, do all the things.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, we worry about that in everyday life, you know, walking down the street or whatever. But when you're in a hospital room about to give birth, that's the one place that you feel like you should be able to do whatever you
want. And be safe. Like, one thing that's come out of it, which, because like a lot of it can often feel like initially it was all very negative and I was like, oh, this is terrible. What am I going to do about it? And I didn't feel like there was any like hope almost. And now I'm doing this thing and I have all these amazing people who have uteruses and are pregnant and they're just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And they're living their lives authentically. They're in love. It's beautiful. You know, they're just doing it. And I think like for queer people, when they have a baby, it's like, it's such a big and long and often time and money to get there, that it isn't just accidentally got pregnant last weekend. Mm. It's like a real long journey to get there. And often like it can be quite difficult. And like I have found within myself, like I feel more valid. Mm. And I have these beautiful queer like role models who are having babies who I didn't have before. And I didn't know I needed it, but now I've got it. I'm just like,
Woo! So they need you, but you also need them in a way.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that I did need that.
Mm.
But I think we all do. We need beautiful queer birth stories and families to just be like, yeah, this is amazing. And
do they, because obviously they share the stories with you. I don't know if you're allowed to share this enough. It's patient confidentiality or what, but do they tell you like how they get pregnant and like, what is the majority of the way? Cause like I'm in a situation now where I'm trying to like, I want a baby soon. How do you do it? Like,
And in New Zealand, it's really, one, it's expensive and two, time consuming. And you also have to go through ethics. Like, you have to go through an ethics committee to say that you're, like, okay to have a baby. Yeah. I'm sorry, what hetero person has to do that?
Yeah. Well, because I had a lesbian couple of my friends on season one of Diaries of a Dyke, and they had to go through, like, counselling sessions to make sure that they were mentally okay to go forward with the process of having a baby.
Yeah, totally. It's wild. And I'm just like, why is there, like, someone gatekeeping the, like... So yeah, it can be super expensive. So most of them and even like people on my survey, that was one of the things I asked, like, how did you get pregnant? Mm. Or how did you like end up having a family? And many were IVF, but also many were like IUI at home. So basically like self-insemination.
I'm leaning on that that way. Hey, I'm like, you know, looking at my options and I'm like, jot down that. He'll be good for save 60 grand and, you know, going through all that. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And I think that is one of the other things is that recently, so at the moment I've got about 12 queer families, and I have a polyamorous family as well, which is really cool.
Can you explain what that is?
Polyamorous?
Yeah. We haven't touched on this yet on the podcast. So
basically anyone that isn't in a monogamous relationship might be poly. So they may, there's so many different aspects of polyamory, but this particular family I'm looking after are a closed poly, so that basically a throuple. But some people may have one main partner and then have poly partners.
Okay.
Also.
Yeah. Okay. Is it one woman, two women? Are you allowed to say that? Or is it
the people I'm currently caring for?
Or a trans?
No, so it's a male and two females.
Okay, and one of them's pregnant.
Mm, yeah.
How does that work? Mm. Because it's two women. Is it kind of like, oh, whatever, one gets pregnant, that's the one who gets pregnant?
Yeah, I don't know how this particular family came to be, but I'm sure I'll find out.
Yeah, because that intrigues me as well. Because, I'm not opposed to throuples. I'm not opposed to it at all. I'm very open-minded. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it personally, but I mean.
No, I'm not sure either.
Yeah, I always wonder that. I'm always just like, how would that work? You know, because obviously I would think that they would be having sexual intercourse altogether.
Yeah.
And then it's just whoever gets the jackpot, or whoever's egg is the most ripest or whatever it is. I don't know how that works.
I think I have quite a lot of lesbian couples, and often a couple that gave birth a few months ago, one of them was adamant that was like, I'm never going to be pregnant. Like, I do not want to do that. I do not want to give birth. And the other one was like, yeah, okay, I can do that. And then, whilst the pregnant person was going through it, and I asked her partner, I was like, oh, how do you feel? Do you think maybe you would want to be pregnant now? And they're like, yeah, maybe. And then during the birth, she does to me and she goes, shit, never going to do this again. And I was like, absolutely out. You have the next one too. I'm not doing it.
I feel like this, but that's what mums say, the mums say as well when they're giving birth. They're like, I'm never doing this again. Yeah. My mum said that. She was like, when she had me, she was like, I'm never doing that again. Yeah. And then she got pregnant again and did it again. So I guess it's
and
always.
And we always do.
Yeah, exactly. How does, do you work with many gay men who have a surrogate?
Yeah, so I've got one couple that I'm working with at the moment. Okay. Their surrogate lives up north. Okay. So, I'm not involved in their surrogate's pregnancy, but I will be when they come home to Auckland, then I'll look after them postnatally.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Which is kind of nice. But even I think for gay men, it's really difficult.
Because how do they be
involved? Find someone to donate their uterus, full on.
And then how do they...
You have to adopt the baby.
Yeah, because I follow Love From Your Dads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that who
of
it is?
Of course you do. No.
Yeah, Love From Your Dads. And then... obviously, I'm following their surrogate journey as well. And the whole adoption thing of them having to adopt their first child.
Yeah.
I'm just like, well, it's not even their child until they actually legally adopt
them. Yeah, totally.
But it's their sperm.
Yeah, totally. And they've also paid for all of the... because in New Zealand, you're not legally allowed to pay someone to be your surrogate. Yeah. So there can't be any financial benefit to the person with the uterus who's doing it. But you then have to pay for, obviously, all the IVF and the... medical bills and all those sorts of things. So yeah, it's quite wild. And there have been, unfortunately, some stories of surrogates who are just like, nah, I'm going to keep the baby.
Oh yeah.
And
oh,
they so legally scary. Have right, like have the right.
It's scary, isn't it?
Really scary.
So what would happen in the birthing suite when the surrogate, would the two dads be allowed to come in?
Yeah. So generally in the birthing room, anyone who that pregnant person wants in there, they can be in there. As many as they want, especially with Māori and Pacifica families.
Yeah,
they have huge whānau.
How's them? Do you deal with many of them?
I haven't got any actually.
Oh, really?
But I think because I was talking to a friend about it recently, and I think from my understanding is that people in that community don't feel like it's accessible to them.
Yep.
They don't feel like it's accessible or that it's ever in their future to have babies because it's just too expensive.
Yeah.
And stigma and all those sorts of things, so, which is really sad.
Religion and just things that come
totally.
With it as well.
All of those things,
Yeah. Understand that. Mm. Wow, okay. What's the most craziest birthing story that you can share with us? Because like I said, I've only seen the videos. But my friend, this girl that I actually read her birthing story the other day, she said her whole pelvis broke when she was giving birth.
Oh, shit.
I know. I was like, oh, God. Jeez. Is this true?
I think that's uncommon. I don't think that happens very frequently. I don't know. Crazy birthing stories.
Yeah. How many babies have you Oh, delivered.
Hundreds, I'd say. Hundreds.
Can I ask something? How old are you?
27.
Yeah. I was like, you're very young, but you're very wise and you've got a lot of life experience.
You know, like, I feel like being a midwife and like doing my degree honestly aged me about 10 years. In like a good way. In like I'm just exposed to all of these different people all of the time. And like so many of my like previous like life views were just like, oh no, that's definitely wrong. Mm. You know, like, cause you just, and like when people are pregnant, they just like tell you the weirdest shit. You know, and they're just like, oh yeah. Like, I remember when I was a student, I was working with my mentor, and this midwife was basically asking this woman, like, if she'd had a urine infection because she had something in her wee and blah, blah. And the woman was just like, oh no, we don't double dip. And I was like, what the fuck is happening here? And my midwife was like, sorry? And the woman was just like, oh, you know, after he's put it in my bum, don't let him put him in my... And I was just like, holy, okay. Wow. I was like, I've never met you before, but great, good.
Yeah. Well, you've come to the right podcast because we definitely share a lot of stories here. But that's amazing about your midwifery journey. Mm. But really quick, before we wrap it up, can you tell us a little bit about... I've done it backwards because I was just so intrigued to get into the whole midwifery thing. But growing up as a queer woman, like, when did you where did you grow up, when did you know that you were queer?
So grew up in North Devon, in this like really tiny, like, I guess like seaside town near the beach, with my parents and an older brother. And I think now when I look back on it, I've known I was queer since I was really young. And like, I remember coming across a diary when I was like 10 and I'd written in there, I think I fancy women.
That was the only
thing. And I was like age 10, yeah. But was very, my mum's very religious. My parents are from South Africa. And was always just like aware that it wasn't okay to be like gay. So like never even like considered it. But, you know, classically would always get with girls when I went on a night out, and then like... all these sorts of things. And I'd be like, oh, it's just a bit of fun. And then...
it's a phase.
Yeah, it's just a phase. And then like, and then I remember having a conversation with my friend and she was like, would you ever have a relationship with a woman? And I was like, no, just like having sex with them. And then like a few weeks later, I was like, fuck, I've got a girlfriend now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yes, and came out when I was like 23 or 24, I guess.
Okay.
So relatively old,
that's quite,
I guess.
Yeah, that's quite later.
Had a couple of boyfriends before that and was like, this feels weird. Why is this not working?
It's almost like you just, like, I actually want to talk to someone about, like, this kind of thing, because I've also had boyfriends in the past. Mm. And it's like, for me personally, I'm still attracted to men. Like, I'm still attracted, but there was just no connection there. Like, I just couldn't connect. Yeah. And that's why I didn't understand. For me, I was just like, what the heck? Like, do I like girls? Do I like men? Oh my gosh, I can like both. What the heck?
Yeah, you know? And it was funny, when I was at uni, I was... like, in my brain, I think there was that, like, heteronormative thing of, like, oh, you only like kissing the girls because the boys like it. Yeah. You know? Oh, and it was, like, this, like, fetish. Yeah. And then I'd always kind of orchestrate these, like, threesome activities. And then afterwards, I was like, well, it's just because you wanted to have sex with that girl.
Yeah.
He didn't need to be there.
Yeah, this is a threesome. And then the guy's like, hi.
I'm like, oh, sorry, could you just stand over there?
Oh, that's so funny. So do you have a partner at the moment over here?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
yes.
Cool. Yeah. Cute. Mm. And how are you finding it over in New Zealand compared to the UK with being queer?
To be honest, I wasn't out in the UK for very long before I moved.
Okay, yeah.
So only for like
of
six
course,
or...
sorry, you're only 22.
Yeah, 6 or 9 months. So, I don't know, like, I didn't have any queer friends in the UK. But now here I was really like, no, I need basically no straight friends. I have some straight friends, but I was just like, I need this like queer group of humans around me, and it's great. I love it. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Cool. Mm. That's so amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you must be very busy with your work.
Yeah.
Because, like, how does that work being a midwife like that? Like, do you have to be on call 24/7?
Yeah.
Because, like, the baby could come at any time.
Yeah, basically.
So where's your phone? Like, what happens if a baby's going to call
just
now?
Down there. It's all good. Oh. I mean, they're probably, you know, it's fine. I haven't got anyone actually due until July, so...
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I feel like if I was do you know what? There was one time in my life where I actually was just like, man, I want to be a midwife. And then my papa's partner, she's one, and I was watching her studies, like her looking through her studies and stuff, and I was like, oh, nah, that's so that's hard. That's hard work. Like, it's like doctor material.
Yeah, it's full on. Yeah. My degree was so, like, one of the hardest things I've ever done. But. Yeah.
But rewarding.
Being a midwife is amazing, and I love it.
Well,
so
you're
much.
Doing you're doing such an amazing job. For anyone that is listening in the LGBT community, because you only do that, right? You don't do any straight.
I occasionally take some straight humans,
okay.
just to like top up the income because, you know, I need to pay my bills and whatnot. But the thing is, I'm very, obviously my website and everything says that I only care for LGBT humans. So when those people contact me, they're like...
Priority almost? Or
yeah, absolutely priority. Yeah. But then when straight people contact me, and the ones that I have on my books at the moment, they've often messaged me with like, saw your profile and love what you're doing for the community. Yeah. Super supportive, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
you sound nice.
That's cool. As long as they're supporting it, yeah, then that's cool. Hey?
Yeah, and you know,
I think there would be a lot.
So it's amazing.
Well. Yeah, well, like I was going to say, if the people that are listening and they would love to use you as a midwife, because you know, I've got friends that are gay at the moment that are having babies, and being like, if I have a baby, in a couple years or whenever that
time comes,
I mean, even though you're 27, like it's crazy that you're 27, but I feel like even after meeting you for like what 45 minutes, I would fully trust you, like delivering my baby. So
I appreciate that.
That's nice. That says something. So where can people
Findyourmidwife.co.nz. My profile's on there, so when you're pregnant, you can get in touch with me via there, or my Instagram page. I have a website, which is empower.nz, E-M-P-W-R. And then, yeah, my Instagram is arlene.empower. My mobile number is on the internet, which is kind of weird, but you can text me.
I'll drop Arlene's handles and all that kind of stuff at the bottom, because I feel like there will be a lot of people listening that, are going through this journey and just want it to be a safe journey as well.
A friend of mine, Lucy and I, we're collaborating at the moment. We want to create, well, they wanted it to be a zine, and I was like, shit, no, we need us to be like a real fancy coffee table hardback book of queer birth stories. So we are looking for people to like share and submit just their gorgeous queer. How did you get there? How did you make a family? What did you want to know if it was you 5 years ago? And we'll get some bougie photos. So yeah, also would love you to email me with those if you're listening and have any.
That's great. I've got a couple of people that could already be in their books.
Amazing.
So that's great. Hey, the podcast, the book, the queer community is taking over.
Queer world domination.
Yes, one step at a time. But Arlene, thank you so much for coming through. I'll let you go in case babies are coming. Have a great day, all right?
Thank you.
That was Diaries of a Dyke with Danny Fennessy. Thank you so much for listening. If you need more of a doad dosage, you can follow us on Instagram @Diaries of a Dyke. And I'll catch you next episode. Peace.